Sabbath blessings, everybody, once again. I think we got the mics all fixed now. I know the floor mic's got to be blasted all the time, so that one, I can't really change that. So if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with another Sabbath day. We thank you for all the blessings that we had this week, all the trials and tribulations included, because, Father, we need to have the garbage burned off our lives. And we thank you for your merciful hand and your loving hand. We thank you for the convocation that we had last week where all the folks attended, both online and offline. We thank you for the technology that allows them to come online, because most of the people couldn't make it with the gas prices and everything else. And so we were able to share with them online. We thank you so much for that, Father. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list, especially our loved ones in the hurricane-stricken areas, especially Dwayne and his family. We pray for all those that are sick and ailing, all those that are in desperate need of salvation, as we all are. We pray for our loved ones, Father. We pray that you give them as many opportunities as possible to find the love that we have found in you. We thank you for blessing today's Sabbath study as well as this church service. We pray that you bridle any tongues that may speak so that you are glorified, you and you alone. And we thank you again, Father, for the Sabbath day that gives us rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not quite sure where Brother Jeff left off last week when he did the Sabbath study for us through the book here. I'm thinking he did. If you want to go to the book, Luke, let me just pop it on the screen, because I didn't update the site on the book, because I didn't really. You don't have to do F3. Just do F2 once you get there, and then hit the jump down to it. Okay, hit a 2 there. Because that's where I left off 2 weeks ago, and that's where Jeff picked up last week. And I'm thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Jeff's here today, right? Or he was earlier, and he's not in here now. Anyway, I think he did letter 12, August 12, 1890, and letter 109. Okay? I think he did both those. So, because I seriously don't think he did letter 23. If you scroll up to that, you'll see what I mean, because it's huge. We're only going to be able to get through this one letter today. If you put it all together, it's almost 2 whole pages. So we'll do this one today. That's letter 23C. Just scroll down a little bit on your screens for those of you that you'll see it. It's the second letter from the yellow mark that I put up there. And I'll update the site next week. I just didn't have time to look at it this week. Plus, I haven't had time to put the convocation audios on the site yet. I have them. They're on my computer. They will be on the site as soon as possible. I want to thank everybody that came, both online and offline. It was really a blessing. You know, it was a little nerve-wracking for us. We'll get into that later, though. it was, for the 3 or 4 weeks beforehand, because the way the devil kept attacking. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he did that I completely forgot too. The little things that were happening on a daily basis. There was 3 or 4 different things that would happen almost every day, just to annoy, to slow things down, stuff like that. Anyway, letter 23, letter 23C, I guess, July 20th, 1894. Sister White says, "In the night season, I was in a dream or vision which revealed some things in Battle Creek. My guide said, 'Follow me.' I was directly in Battle Creek. The streets were alive with bicycles ridden by our people. There was a witness from heaven beholding our people, including their desire for selfish gratification, and using the money in this way that should be invested in foreign missions to unfurl the banner of truth in the cities and in the byways of the land. There was an infatuation, a craze upon the subject. The course of those who invest money in these things when starvation is at the very door of thousands does not bear telling testimony to the truth that the end of all things is at hand. These things are counterworking against the messages that God has given his messengers to proclaim in order to arouse the world to the great event which is just before us. And that's why I like to use the extra money that we have left over in the ministry to help. You know, we have some ministries in Africa that we help out. That it's you can check out some of it. Well, you can't do it today on the internet because it resides on the boutique. It resides on the eSabbath.com website, and that server is set up to shut down on Sabbath day because it's a commercial site. It's a hosting site. And some of the sites that are on there are commercial. And Boutisa.org is more or less commercial until it actually starts going full blast. You know, it's they are evangelizing. They are helping some of the people in the Africa. I don't know the exact area. Jim Snipes was talking about this last week. And he's got pictures and everything. It's kind of strange, too, the way the people in that particular country, and it's not just in that continent. I mean, you go into some areas of the European continent, you go into some areas of the Asian countries and stuff like that, and even the outback in Australia, you'll find some of the strangest constructions. These people, some of them don't know the first thing about building construction, and so they just put up buildings and build walls to the best of their ability, and they withstand. They were pretty strong. I mean, they got some, like, I don't know, like tin or something, kind of like the stuff you see on the roofs of old barns out here, you know, the tin roof. Those would be walls. You got bamboo sticks in the ground, which they're fastened to in some way, and the same thing with the ceiling. And so what they're doing here is they're actually getting actual buildings and stuff like that all set up for them. And there are some people in the area there that are open to this message and are embracing it. We have brethren in that area now, and I praise the Lord for that. So that's the nice thing about like when the Lord blesses you with a little bit of extra over the end of the month, or you know, at the end of each month or year, or however you do your tithings or whatever. It's nice to send love offerings to people that will help push this work further. And you don't have to be in foreign lands either. You can do it in your own, your own neighborhood, your own neck of the woods. Because that's another thing I've noticed too. A lot of people have a tendency to do more stuff overseas than they do in their own backyard, and that confuses me. You know, I don't understand that. Because there are people overseas that will do the work, just like there's people here that will do the work. And like here as well as there, they need help to do the work. So. Anyway, continuing, it says, the witness from heaven said, I will turn my face from you for your pleasant picture and your selfish practices, which are misrepresenting the religion of Jesus Christ and preparing a people through denying him in practice to be ensnared by the deceptions of these last days. Every device that Satan can invent to make our people disloyal to Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, will be ready at hand. And man, can you see that today? Everything from video games to Hollywood. I mean, it's just any kind of... Or music. That's another thing I've noticed some of the young people getting into is some of the music that does not glorify the Lord, and it has a tendency to get you in a state of mind. Because I know when I was first, like a teenager and stuff like that, we got into music heavy in the 70s, like, you know, like some of the acid rock bands. It'll take up your whole day. You could just sit there listening to music all day long, and it literally takes over your day, prevents you from doing the things you should be doing. And as we know, the angel of music is Satan. That was his job in heaven. He was to sing to the, you know, to the Father and to everybody else. He actually has musical instruments built inside of his body, it says in Scripture. And so that's one of the reasons that's why the music is messed up the way it is today, because it's his ministry, his church. And all of those heavy metal rock bands or even country music and some of the, it's hard for me to say the word Christian rock. I mean, that's oxymoronic. It's just doesn't make any sense, you know? Okay. Somehow, some way, my microphone just got turned off, but it's back on now. All right. But yeah, some of the, like I said, it's not just, you know, rock and roll. You've got Christian rock bands now. I remember when Stryper first came out, I could not believe that Christian bookstores, and, well, they're not really Christian bookstores, but that's what they considered them to be. They had their music in there. And these guys were wearing skin-tight, like, spandex clothing, jumpsuits kind of a thing, with really long hair, like, and the hair was puffed up like girls' hair with a hairspray on it, and they wore eye makeup and everything. And they looked like women on stage. And they were singing for Jesus. Man, does that not remind you of that damsel that was walking behind the apostle, saying, listen to these men, you know, the diviner of spirits, that young girl? And she's saying, listen to these men, they speak the oracles of God, and they had to cast a demon out of her because she's mocking the Lord. That's what they're doing out there in the world. They call it Christian rock, but it's just mockery. They're saying, look, we're in sin, we can continue on in sin, and we can claim Jesus Christ as Lord at the same time. You know, that's the way the world preaches today. That's Catholicism in a nutshell. You can be saved in your sins. And that's not the way the Bible says it. There is a new creature, a new creation when you find Christ. Continuing, it says, the notices given in our papers extolling bicycles might be better cut out and in their place the destitute foreign fields be represented. You know, instead of selling bikes, let people know where their money should be spent. My people, saith the Lord, do err and separate from the source of their strength. In their works they deny men, and I will turn my face from them, unless they repent and do their first works. America, and especially Battle Creek, where the greatest light from heaven has been shining upon the people, can become the place of greatest peril and darkness because the people do not continue to practice the truth and walk in the light. And now we see this happening today. She's talking about this many years ago, and now Battle Creek is just, it's disgusting what's going on over there now, as well as is America. America's a mess. Continuing, it says, what was the meaning of the movement last winter? She's talking about 1893 to 94. In giving up jewelry and ornaments, was it to teach our people a lesson? Were they prompted by the Holy Spirit to do those things and to use the avail in the advancement of the work of God in foreign countries? And has Satan been counteracting the movement of the Holy Spirit upon human hearts that reaction shall be allowed to take place and another evil exist? The present manifestation is strikingly inconsistent with the movement of stripping off the ornaments and giving up selfish indulgences which absorb the means, the mind, and the affections, diverting them into false channels. There's too much, you know, people are dedicating way too much of themselves or their time or even worship, if you will, to the creature comforts or to fashion or to, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. You ever notice this, that keeping up with the Joneses is the devil's ingenious method to get you to break commandment number 10? Keeping up, do they know what keeping up with the Joneses means? I don't know. Well, some of the young people might not know, but keeping up with the Joneses is just something that's, it's a saying that was, I heard the first time in the 50s or 60s. And they even glorified it in commercials back when the TV was invented with some of the black and white TV tubes that you had in the neighborhoods. We were, of course, the last ones to get a color TV, because my dad wasn't so much worried about keeping up with the Joneses as he was just putting food on the table, because there was 11 kids to feed, you know. So we didn't get a lot of stuff, you know. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people will buy Nike shoes. They'll waste, they'll spend like $125 to $155 on a pair of gym shoes when they can buy Converse for $50. Same shoe, same construction, same everything. The only difference is you're paying extra because your buddy's wearing them, and you just ain't cool unless you wear them. Or the same thing with the guy that's, like if you're living in the suburbs, that's another reason to get out of the suburbs, because the temptations are there. You've got a house in the suburbs, and the guy next to you has got a house in the suburbs. His is the exact same construction as yours, but you know, you'll put a couple extra bells and whistles on the front of your house with shutters or whatever to make it look different. But he'll pull up into the driveway with a Lexus, and so, man, forget this. I'm going out and get me a Mercedes, or at least a Lexus, to keep up with what he's got. You know? When what you have is sufficient. It's just another ingenious method by which to get even the kids involved in breaking the Tenth Commandment. You're walking through the halls in high school, and it gets to the point where, look, Mom and Dad, you got to get me this clothing. Everybody else is wearing it. I remember when we had one pair of pants and two or three different shirts, and that was it for the school year. And I made the fatal mistake of wanting to get a pair of pants that everybody else, you know, that some of the other guys were wearing. They had these big giant bell bottoms with cuffs on them. That's when Bell Bottoms first came out. I was humbled in a big way because of that, because my parents said, that's the only pair of pants we're going to get you. I didn't think ahead. I thought, okay, when I come to school, I'm going to be cool like the rest of the guys, right? The only difference was they had two or three different, you know, or sometimes four or five different pairs of pants that were different. All year I wear the same pants. I mean, you could not mistake the fact that, yeah, those were the pants I wore in school started and when school ended. Those were the same. It was like a tan, like a light tan, thin fabric, something you'd wear in a disco or something. I don't know. You know, the big cuffs. And I was constantly ridiculed day in and day out. I think that was around the time I started getting beat up, too. But I was kind of young. So I just figured it wasn't necessary. The jeans or whatever I could wear were sufficient. I made it through the week. Somebody here? Hold on a second, folks. Oh, okay. All right. Continuing, it says, the light given me of God is that there is a work to be wrought in the heart, which will not permit the mind and means to be thus perverted from the great subject that should absorb every mind, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prepare for the great day of God. How can the people of Battle Creek interrupt or interpret such movements, so difficult to harmonize one with the other? May the Lord help his representative men to turn their influence into channels which he can approve, you know, get them on the correct path. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to act as a reprover. This, I am bidden to say to you, is the work that has been and must continue to be carried out in every church in our land. The more nearly we approach the closing scenes on this earth's history, the more pronounced will be the work of Satan. Every species of deception will take the lead to divert the mind from God through Satan's devices. The imagination will be intensely awakened in human minds to absorb money in buildings for convenience, or to expend it unnecessarily through some excuse or invention of Satan, so that there will be less money to support laborers in the field and less money for the opening of new fields, and money will be unwisely appropriated to do things that are really good works, but by doing which the larger and more essential work is cramped and many things cannot be undertaken by all or at all in a lifting of the banner of the truth in new fields with the proper dignity that should characterize the proclamation of warning that should be given to our world. It's kind of like I said, you know, buying a Mercedes when a Buick would have done just as well, you know. Spending $5 million on a facility, a building, because you want all the fancy windows and the state-of-the-art architecture and decorations on the inside, like the interior decorating and all that, when $1 million would have done better, it would have made it plain, and you would have had $4 million left over to give for the work. You know, if you have the Lord's money, if the Lord is blessing you in ministerial work and he's giving you money to do the work, and you're blowing it on things that he does not approve of, before you know it, that money's going to stop flowing. Or it might not stop flowing, and you'll just be getting judged more and more accordingly. Continuing, it says, if at the great heart of the work the pulse beats are violent and erratic, the peril to spiritual life affect the whole body. Brethren and sisters in Battle Creek, I inquire, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, not only by profession but by practice? Shall the idols be expelled from you, from the heart, and Jesus be enthroned there? He is standing, knocking at the door of every heart. Do you hear his voice saying, open unto me? I have heavenly treasures, goods of imperishable value. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Buy white raiment and eye salve. These are the goods you need, which, if you possess, will open to you the pearly gates of the city of God. And that's really all it matters, folks. I mean, we're just pilgrims anyway. We're just visiting this planet. This is not the meaning of life down here. This is, well, it is to some extent, but this is not God's first original plan for our lives. We were born to be eternal beings. Even science will tell you that the human brain has enough memory capacity that if you were to learn something new every second of the day, it would take over 3 million years to exhaust the capacity of the human brain at this point. And this is our post-flood brains. Before the flood, men were 16 feet tall, women were about 14 feet tall. That's been proven as well, but do you think they're going to tell you that in your history books or your science books? No, because it verifies, God's word. They're not going to tell you stuff like that. Just that's why they got barbed wire all the way around Mount Sinai, so you can't go up there and look at what the blackened top and all the altars. And they certainly don't want you to look at Mount Ararat and go up there. They got a whole mess of armed guards around there, making sure nobody goes up there and sees Noah's Ark is sitting up there. It's not that thing that Ron Wyatt is saying. And that was some, those guys with the hammers with the horns on their heads. What are they? Barbarians or whatever, that's the kind of ship that was. Because the Ark of Noah, I've seen a video, it's up there. It's still up, when it broke in half when they had that earthquake on Mount Ararat, you see this one section of the Ark sticking out of the side of the mountain. You can look right in it. When there's a warm winter and a warm summer and the Ark is jutting out of the side of the mountain where the snow is, you can see the stalls, you can see everything in there. And it's the same size the Bible said it was. But they won't let people up there, because it would cause too much confusion in the world. That's their excuse. And somehow Satan got them to believe it. Wouldn't it be better for all the world to realize, look, there's only one God, you're all created by Him? The Muslims would finally drop their guns and knives and bombs. The Catholics would leave the Vatican churches. Everybody would just go, wow, It would just finally make sense. But we can't have that. Especially now that the mark of the beast is about to be enforced. And so they prevent people from seeing the truth. Continuing, it says, He has been calling in the rich gospel feast He has presented to you, that you may be fed with the bread of life. And Christ is still knocking at the door of your hearts. Many go to Battle Creek, expecting to find an influence similar to that of heaven. That sounds Catholic. Many people go to Lourdes, France, to get an influence that of heaven. Lourdes, France is where they got so-called apparitions of Mary and all that. Our Lady of Fatima. Anyway, continuous says, but they soon find practices not at all in accordance with their ideas of truth and the separate peculiar people who are to represent the most pure, holy principles of religion that were given to the world. Many have been led to walk in false paths through being brought in connection with those who are not consecrated, self-denying followers of Jesus. These false professors have served as decoys to divert souls from the principles of truth and righteousness. We are the faithful sentinels in Battle Creek to keep the, or no, I'm sorry, where are the faithful sentinels in Battle Creek to keep the fort? Where are the minutemen to be on guard and not relax their vigilance for one moment? Men who watch, men who pray, men who walk humbly in meekness and lowliness after the example of the greatest missionary that ever visited our world. Who is our pattern? He is our pattern. This is, of course, speaking of Christ Jesus, who is our pattern. My soul is weighed down continually as a cart beneath sheaves. Oh, why do men become so spiritually blind? Poor triflers prefer their idols to Jesus Christ, admitting them into their heart while Jesus is left standing without. Will you compel God to work and dash one after another of your idols to the ground, that those who claim to be Christians may be driven from the perishable to the eternal? You have been made the depositories of sacred, solemn messages of warning to an idolatrous and impenitent world. That's one of the reasons the Catholic Church has attacked the Seventh-day Adventist Church and infiltrated it. Because they were in the ninth hour, that Matthew chapter 20 verses 1 and 7 talks about, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was used by the Lord in a mighty way to get a lot of people awakened to what's going on in the world in regards to prophecy. And that's why they focused their attack on that church. Common sense, people. That message was such a threat to the Vatican that they had to, step back, and then they had to reset their forces, and they had to zoom in just on the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They made overwhelmingly sure that they would infiltrate and attack and destroy. And if you don't think that that's what they're going to do, or that if they did do that, then the message ain't as powerful as you thought it was. Because if it really is that powerful, you think the devil's going to sit back and just fiddle his thumbs and say, okay, fine, let it just run amok and destroy everything I'm trying to do. This is a war. And that's why you have the 11th hour that Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7 speaks of. We were talking about that last night, as a matter of fact, in the room. You got the early in the morning is the Jewish nation. You got the third hour is the Christians. The sixth hour is the Protestants, you know, with the Reformation. The ninth hour is the Seventh-day Adventists. And then the 11th hour is us. Because every church, you had the Jewish church, they were told to go out there. The householder says to go out there and do the work in the field in my vineyard. They didn't do the work, so he had to go back into the city in the third hour to get people to do the work because the Jews weren't doing it. So then you get the Christians, so on and so forth. Went down from there. Continuing. You have been the depositaries of sacred solemn messages of warning to an idolatrous and impenitent world, and the Lord is not pleased with your ways. He cannot prosper you in thus misrepresenting the truth, denying the message of your own course of action. Now keep in mind, she is talking about Battle Creek. She's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church here. This is a vision you won't hear from GC churches. Some of these things that Sister White says are just not spoken. That's why some of the GC churches are burning her books. Because she's saying things about what they're doing now, back then, and what they were doing then, too. Continuing, it says, will our people awake? Will they continue to strain every nerve to purchase things they do not positively need, which are making them a byword before the world? The Lord has money in the hands of his stewards, which they are misappropriating, binding it up in idols of some description. Of some description, I guess. That's where it ends. Oh, there is a period there. Okay. Continuing, it says, we have set before you our wants in this foreign field, but you have not had ears to hear and hearts to feel. And instead of considering our position in this new region beyond, instead of denying yourselves that we may have facilities, you bind up the things of God and the things which he names idols. You know, they were purchasing, they were wasting their money. And the devil tricked them into doing it. It could be anything as minuscule as a bike, you know, because that was what was going on at this time with the bicycles. It is time that there was a different order of things in Battle Creek, else the judgments of God will surely fall upon the people. His blessing has rested upon you in a large measure. Has it made you laborers together with him? Are not our people in Battle Creek demonstrating to unbelievers that they do not believe the truth which they claim to advocate? God has been called. See, that's a lot of stuff that we, a lot of people, that our Sabbath keepers do. They claim their Sabbath keepers, or even Sunday keepers do the same thing too. They claim Christ Jesus Lord, and then they do things openly, which declares they don't believe in what he says you should and shouldn't do. They just don't believe. If they believed, they wouldn't be doing those things out in the open. Continuing, he says, God has been calling them away from every species of self-indulgence and all manner of extravagance. When the church has had great light, then is her peril. Then is her peril if she does not walk in the light and put on beautiful garments and arise and shine. Darkness will becloud the vision, so that light will be regarded as darkness and darkness as light. It's just a complete flip-flop. This is like with the Trinity. They're preaching Trinity in the GC now. They've got a new thing. They had the 27 fundamentals beliefs or whatever, and now it's got 28. So I just got an email about that the other. I didn't check the 28th one. I just got an email. I was going to dig into it after the convocation because I am very backed up on those emails. So anyway, finishing up, it says, when the believers in Battle Creek shall not only be penitent occasionally, but shall walk in humility, doers of the word, the world will take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Oh, how can the Spirit speak to impress hearts so that they will obey his voice? Where's my highlighter? Let's see if it's over there. Is it over there? Not. Oh, here it is. I got it over here. All right, we'll pick it up next week at letter 83, May 22, 1896. All right, we'll be back in a minute. I guess we're going to sink first, right? All right. I always ask that. I don't know why I keep... I'll get used to it. So we'll be back in a few minutes.